still yet to go on your vacation for the summer? Anybody still yet to go? Oh my goodness, half you guys still haven't. What are you waiting for? Summer's almost gone. Oh gosh, we're not all going the same week, are we? Oh my. Oh my. Well, that's a real possibility, isn't it? All right, for our Bible study this morning, we're going to take one more look. We'll see next week what we want to do next week. But we want to take one more look at the topic of expecting the unexpected. I want to do it from both the Old and New Testaments today. But I want to start in Matthew chapter 14. So if you'll turn over there with me today, and this is a familiar story to you. We talked about this not too long ago on Wednesday night from the Gospel of Mark. But today we'll look at it from Matthew chapter 14, because there are other scriptures in Matthew that I want to read from as well. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 13, and we'll read down through verse 21. In fact, let me just set the stage before we do the reading here of this particular passage. Jesus has just recently learned of the death of John the Baptist. If you remember, John the Baptist had declared to Herod that it was unlawful for him to have his brother's wife. And as the end result of that, it cost him his life for standing for righteousness. You know what, guys? It's going to cost us something if we make a decision to stand for righteousness in our world. And our world is becoming more and more wicked. Wickedness is becoming more and more prominent and accepted. And if you don't go along with it, you are the one who's the bad guy. You're the bigot. You're the one that's, you know, the bad person, the judgmental person, the hateful person. But John the Baptist was one who would stand for righteousness and stand and declared that to Herod, and it would ultimately cost him his wife life, as Herod's wife would demand John's head on a platter, and as was ultimately given to her. And Jesus hears about the departure of John the Baptist, and it tells us down in verse 13, beginning there. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed them. Interesting, this is recorded in all of the Gospels. One of the few stories recorded as such. One of the others says that he felt compassion and taught them. And I thought that was interesting, that each writer has a different perspective on what Jesus was doing and reason for sharing. But Jesus was ministering to the people in every way because of his love for them. And as we'll see down through the rest of this story, not just their spiritual needs, but their natural needs as well. For it tells us in verse 15, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." There's just so much here I don't have time to develop because it's not the point of my story here. But you and I have been commanded by the Lord to feed the world. That's not just naturally, but it's spiritually as well. Jesus tells you and me, give them something to eat. The world needs to hear about Jesus. And we need to give them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to feed the world the word of God. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You give them something to eat. They said to Jesus, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all, what Jesus gives to you, you're supposed to give it to somebody else. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. Let's pray together. Father, I pray you help me today to get the message that you've placed in my heart out in a way of simplicity and understanding and yet with anointing, Lord, that would encourage every one of us and excite the hearts of every one of us to obedience to you. We thank you, Father, that as we walk in unison with you, we too can expect the unexpected in our lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the fact that God does care about the whole man and not just the spirit of man. We focus often in the church, we focus on the spirit of man and eternal life that Jesus came to purchase for us. And obviously, that's the most important thing you and I can ever receive from the Lord is the gift of life through Jesus Christ. And let me just challenge you today. I know everybody here, I know every one of you heard this 1,000 times, but let's don't assume anything of anybody today, all right? If you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. God, I know I'm a sinner and I know I need salvation. And Jesus, I receive you into my heart. Would you forgive my sins? If you've never done that in your life, I challenge and encourage you to do that. Do that today and receive Christ as your personal Lord. But know that God cares about you wholly, all of you. Not just your eternal spirit, but your soul and your mind and your emotions and your peace and your comfort and your physical well-being and your health and your strength and the needs that you have day to day in life. That's why the Bible gives us one of the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. And I want to show you today from the word of the Lord and from our own lives and both personally and the church, I want to show you Jehovah Jireh provides in unexpected ways. I just want to challenge you today and just remind you that God is not limited to the natural things for the offering today. That God gives us wisdom and he gives us power and he gives us opportunities. He makes the way for us to be responsible for our. And I want you to understand this. Sometimes vision of the Lord. We're supposed to trust God, and so we're just going to stay home and trust God. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to take responsibility for our own lives, and that's a distortion of the true message I want to share with you today. We have a responsibility what God has commanded us to do, and to be diligent, and to be faithful, and to share the word of the Lord. And just as Bible say about those who are not responsible for themselves from the book of Proverbs. Familiar maybe to most of you, but let me read it anyway. Proverbs chapter 6. And these words, if I can get my Bible to turn one more page. Proverbs chapter 6 is this. Go to the ant, O sluggard. And a sluggard is a slothful, lazy, do-nothing, good-for-nothing kind of person who sits around and expects everybody else to kind of take care of them, you know. And he says, go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Please hear what he's saying there. Body, standing over the shoulder, being sure it's the right thing. Observe how the ant just instinctively knows that there's something that needs to be done and gets up and does it. The ant is completely responsible and diligent to do what's right and what needs to be done. Okay? And let me continue reading on. He says, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? When you will arise from your sleep. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. I think I'll sleep in the morning. And your poverty will come in like a vagabond, like arm. I just parish phrase that for you. If you're lazy, if you're a lazy person, thou star. We need to be responsible. We need to understand that God's not limited to just what we do for us. That God can do beyond what we can understand. He can do the unexpected. And I'll show you some examples of that as we go through our message. To Matthew 14, if you turn, to go back to Matthew chapter 14, and let's look at some life lessons that we can learn from here, some principles on receiving a blessing from the Lord. I want you to notice that this passage that we read about the feeding of the 5,000, and these people had come out to hear Jesus. And they had come out and they had spent all day with Jesus. Oh, I've got a whole spending the day with Jesus. Not worrying about anything else, but spending the day. In fact, these people have spent the day with Jesus all day and apparently haven't even considered lunch or dinner or anything else. Jesus is what their heart desires on this day. And they are spending the day with Jesus. Where do our hearts go? Look, hold your place there in Matthew 14. Look back at Matthew 6. You know, sometimes we get so wrapped up in our natural needs in this world, and we forget about trusting God to take care of us and to meet our needs as long as we're being faithful and diligent to do our part. And sometimes we begin, listen to me, sometimes we go beyond just doing our part to listen to trusting in ourselves. Okay? And we become our own source and our own supply, and we depend upon ourselves as though if we don't do something, nothing else is going to matter, and God can't do anything else, and so we have to trust in ourselves as our own source of supply. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink or your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour or a single cubit span? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus says, trust the Lord to take care of you, because God wants to meet your needs. And God loves you more than the things of this world, more than the flowers, anything else. God loves you. God will take care of you as he takes care of the other things. And we need to trust in the Lord to do that. Here's the answer. Here's our responsibility. Verse 31. "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." God knows your needs. God knows your needs. It's the pagans, the godless, who pursue these things and live their lives to get these things. But he says in verse 33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you." Make God the priority of your life, not your need. And that's hard to do. I understand in the natural, our needs are ever before us. They're right in front of our face, particularly when the month is running out and the bills are coming in and the money seems to be short, and it's hard to get our eyes off of that checkbook and off of those bills and on to the Lord. But it's what we need to do. We need to trust in the Lord and know that God has a way and God has a plan. And if we'll trust God, you see, the natural instinct is, well, we gotta work harder. We gotta put in more hours. We gotta work 7 days a week. And I understand some people have to because they're commanded to by their job. But I'm talking about people who choose to. Listen, the Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." You know why God says that? He says, "Work 6 days, but give me that seventh day." And here's what God is saying to us in that context. God's saying this: I can do more for you in 6 days than you can do for yourself in seven. Trust me. Trust me. That's what God wants from us. Trust. God wants us to trust him. And we need to be willing to do that. We need to know that God is Jehovah Jireh, the God who is our provider. So let me just give you several principles that we see. Chapter 14, just real quick. First of all, Jesus must be our priority. He must be number one, the priority of our lives above everything else. These people, at least on this day, had made Jesus the priority of their lives. The next thing is, another principle is the principle of giving. When it looked like they didn't have very much, look at what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, bring it to me. Bring it to me. When it looks like we don't have enough, we need to take what we've got and bring it to Jesus and expect the Lord to magnify and multiply what we bring to the person. And what we had was brought to Jesus. And then notice this. It says, I've lost my place completely. It says here somewhere, verse 19, it says that Jesus took what was given to him and blessed the Lord for it. Other translations or other gospels say he thanked God for it. Listen, rather than focusing on what they didn't have, Jesus considered and thanked God for it. Have a thankful heart. And we need to because he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who will provide. And notice, came a lot. From a little came a lot. And God can take your little bit and make it do far more than you ever dreamed possible if you'll give it to the Lord. But the point of all of this is still to remember, listen, that God is our provider. God is the one who ultimately meets our needs. Yes, we need to be faithful. We need to be diligent. We need to do our job. But in the long run, we need to trust God to be our source, not our employer, not our job, not ourselves, not anything. We need to trust that God can do whatever needs to be done. Unexpected ways. Let's look over at the Luke chapter 5, if you would with me, please. Let me show you a story in the Bible of Jesus meeting a man's needs in an unexpected way. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. Let's read 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around, and this is another incident, another time when Jesus is ministering to the people there. And it said, well, they're having a good time downstairs, aren't they? While the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And so Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. This is Peter. And he asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. The crowd was so great, they're pressing in on Jesus. Jesus needs to step back a little bit, get a little vantage point where the people can see him, he can see them, and he can preach the word of the Lord. So he gets in Peter's boat and says, let's push off just a little bit so I can get an eye on everybody and share a message with him. So Peter does, and Jesus preaches the word from Peter's boat out on the lake there. And then it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have worked hard all night. Peter did his job, didn't he? He was diligent. He was faithful. He knew. Peter's a fisherman by trade. You study the Bible, you find out that Peter and Andrew, James and John, all four of them work together with Zebedee, the father of James and John. They've got their own fishing business. This is what they do for a living. This is their occupation, how they make their income. Well, they've had a bad night fishing. Some of you fishermen know what that's about. You go all night and you don't catch a thing. And so it was with Peter and the guys that night. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. So also James and John and the sons of Zebedee who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed Jesus. Peter's a fisherman by trade. He's been doing his job. He's been out all night fishing. He hadn't caught a thing. I'm sure he's frustrated and discouraged when he came back in and he's mending his nets and getting ready to pack things up to get a little sleep so he can come out and go through it all again. Jesus said, "I need your boat for a little while, Simon." And so he gets in the boat and he preaches the message to the people. And when he's done, he says, "Simon, I want you to go out into the deep water. I want you to put down your nets for a catch." Now hear what Simon said. Understand, Peter is a fisherman by trade. And here's Peter the fisherman who hadn't caught anything. And here's the preacher telling the fisherman how to fish. You got to know his natural instincts are probably, "You don't have a clue, preacher." I expect a lot of preachers have heard that before. "You don't have a clue about my life, preacher. You don't have a clue to know what I need." And Jesus said, "Go out into the deep water and let down your nets." And hear what Simon said. "We've been out all night. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do what you say." Brother and sister, it is a wise person who does what God says, even when it doesn't make sense to you to do what God says. Even when it's crosswise with everything else that you know, when God tells you something different, it's a wise person who stands in the Lord. Does what the Lord says. Peter went out into the deeper water, put down his net, and caught more. His perspective, there wasn't a fish in that lake. But when he did what Jesus said, he filled two boats with fish. And Jesus did the unexpected in Peter's life. And he did it, listen, he did show Peter who he was. Peter caught it too, by the way. Peter knew there's something special. "Get away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinner. Clearly, you're superior to me. Get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." He did it to show Peter who he was, who Jesus was, and he did it to show Peter how much he loved him. And brother and sister, that's why God wants to do the in our lives. And to show us how much. With Peter, go back over to Matthew chapter 17 this time. Let's stay with Peter. Help me, Lord. Clock is running fast. Matthew chapter 17. By the way, Peter got it. When he got back to the shore, he left everything to follow Jesus. Jesus became the priority of his life. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24 to 27. This is Peter again. Here's expecting the unexpected. Jesus is going to do the unexpected in Peter's life once again. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. When they came to Capernaum, those who collected 2 drachma tax. Now you need to understand what that is. That is not a tax levied by the government. It is a tax ultimately levied by God. It was a tax on the people of the temple. God was the one who levied this tax. And so some guys came to Peter, and it says those who collected the tax came to Peter and said, "Does your temple not pay the tax?" And Peter said, "Of course he pays the tax. He's not pays his taxes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think? From whom do the kings of the earth collect customs for toll tax? Or from strangers?" When Peter said, "From strangers," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are exempt." Verse 27, your Bible will start with either "nonetheless." That's important to understand. Pointed out in a moment. "However, so that we do not offend them. Go to the sea and throw in a hook. Take the first fish that comes up. When you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and for me. And talk about doing the unexpected. First of all, let me just share with you that the passage that we just read there is a passage where Jesus declares himself to be the Son of God. And let me show you how I get that out of this passage of Scripture. Look at what it tells us. That the tax is levied by God, this temple tax. Would be a custom. Everybody, it's the way it is. It's why when Peter comes into the house, Jesus says, about those taxes, Peter, when a king levies a tax, who's exempt? So the scriptures never or however, and even though I don't have to pay the tax, why doesn't he have to pay the tax? Because sons are exempt from the king's tax. Who levied the tax? God levied the tax. And Jesus is saying, because God levied the tax and I'm the Son of God, I'm exempt from the tax. But I'm going to go ahead and pay it anyway. So Jesus is actually proclaiming himself in this passage of Scripture to be the Son of God. But then he tells Peter to do the unusual, to do the unexpected. Now, Peter's a fisherman by trade. He might expect Jesus to say, Peter, here's what we're going to do. We're a little low on cash. Get your net. Go out to the fish. Take the money. Pay our taxes. Could have done that. That would have made sense. And he could have paid their taxes and everybody cool. But Jesus didn't do that. He said, Peter, go down there and just throw a line in. Don't take your net, just throw a line in. First fish, open its mouth. Our tax money is in that fish's mouth, Peter. Go take that money and pay our taxes. Talk about expecting the unexpected. And Peter taxes, and God blesses once again. Himself, the God being awesome, Jesus meets their needs in the most unusual of ways, the most unexpected way, because that's the way our God is. Brother and sister, God is not limited. God was not limited to Peter's business income to pay his taxes. He had another way he could pay his taxes and meet Peter's needs. A supernatural way, an unexpected way, and he did it for Peter. And God can do the same kind of things for you and I because God is an awesome God. And God is not determined, not dependent upon our way of doing things in order to meet our needs. His ways are beyond our imagination. I've shared a number of ways over the years that God has blessed Becky and I and this church in unexpected ways. I've told you about being at a Bible conference in Dallas, Texas many, many years ago and waiting in the hallway for Becky between conference sessions because that's what men do. And just standing in the hallway waiting and this gentleman comes by and he stuffed something in my pocket and kept right on going. And I went back in the conference room and sat down and looked in my pocket and there was $100. I told him. Our lives. There have been other times when people have checks. We had a person years ago, we were down. Person gave us a car. Becky, listen. Fresh Market Tuesday. For Fresh Market. We have discounts. So, down and goes, $5. The lady who had just gone ahead of her decided to bless her and bought a gift card for her when she went to Fresh Market. See, God is not limited to our way of doing and our way of thinking. God can bless us in amazing ways. The first house that Becky and I ever bought in 1974. Gosh, that was a long time ago. I'll tell you what, we paid about $18,000 for that house. In 6 months, not 6 months, I'm sorry, 6 years, we doubled our money on that house. We built another house out in Poplar Forest. And I don't know how the man ever managed it. And I'm sure he lost money building that house for us. He was a personal friend of ours and loved us. And I'd just been through the electrocution and all that kind of stuff. And he just wanted to bless us. And he built us a home in Poplar Forest. And I tell you what, anything Becky wanted, he gave it to her. I mean, no addition. Just gave it to her. He talked about, we need to do something about a fireplace. Becky said, I've always wanted a rock fireplace. Goes all the way to the ceiling. This is in the great room of the house. The guy says, I think we can do that. Built a beautiful rock fireplace all the way up to the ceiling in that great room. They go to the kitchen. We've got to have some appliances in the kitchen. And Becky said, you know, I really like to have one of the, Jen Eyre had just come out with that indoor grill thing that they had, you know, and it vented all the smoke outside. And she said, I really would like to have one of those Jen Eyre grills. He said, I think we can do that. Becky and I went back in that house a year ago to look at it. That Jen Eyre grill is still in that house. But whatever we wanted, the guy gave it to her. I mean, God can do things in ways that we can't imagine. God's not limited to our ways. We bought this land here at the church, $240,000 asking price for 30 acres of land. And we bought 30 acres of land for $60,000. Are you kidding me? $2,000 an acre? The houses that we built, the things that we've done. I mean just a month ago, Bonnie Whitaker stood up in front of you guys and said, we need some things we're doing for the kids and all this kind of thing. And one of the things she said, we'd like to, if anybody has a mat, rubber mats, and kids can have to land on or whatever. Who would have thought? And wait. Figured out what God's going to do next. Awesome. Who cares about it? So many other stories we could tell you. And God does these things just because He loves us and just because He cares about us, and He does it to show us who He is. Over in 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons. Legal in Israel in those days. That if you ran up a lot of debt, as slaves, maybe even yourself as a slave, until you've worked off the debt that you've incurred, and you can clear that debt. Well, basically, he's a student of Elisha. He is studying to be a prophet himself. She can't. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Sounds like another story we read not too long ago, doesn't it? Nothing left but one jar of oil. It's all I've got. Then he said, "Now, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels, and do not get a few." Please hear what the prophet says. He says, "I want you to go to everybody you know, and I want you to get every container you can find. Don't get just a few, and don't get just little ones. Little, big, all of them you can find. You get every bucket you can find, every vessel you can find, and you bring it home." Okay? And he says in verse 4, "You shall go in and shut the door behind you and you and your sons and pour out into all of these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him. She hears what the prophet says and she obeys. She does what the man of God says. She shut the door behind her sons, and she was bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel." Stop. Please, what happened? He's got a little jar of oil. The family collects every container in town, brings them to the woman, and she takes that one little jar and she fills one vessel, and she gets another, and she fills another vessel, and she gets another, and she fills another vessel, and she gets another. And out of that little jar, every vessel in town is filled with oil. And in fact, it's not until all of the vessels are full that the oil finally stops coming out of that little jar. Please notice, the jar didn't stop pouring oil because it ran out of oil. The jar quit pouring oil because the woman ran out of vessels to put it in. Notice the abundance of the supply that God gave to the woman because of her faith, because of her obedience, and because of his desire to bless her in an unexpected way. And then notice what he says to do with that. Verse 7. "Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest.'" Are you kidding me? She struck oil, man. She is rich with oil. And she has enough oil to sell, to meet her needs, to pay her debt, and to live on beyond that. God has blessed her in an unexpected way and blessed her in abundance out of his love for her. God can bless us in ways beyond our imagination. God can bless us in unexpected ways, and God can bless us in abundance because of his love for us. God's ways are higher than our ways. God is not limited to our ability. He's not limited to our wisdom, our strength, our thinking. God is unlimited. And God can do whatever needs to be done to meet the needs of our lives. God is faithful, and he loves us and wants to show himself strong. God can do the impossible. And that's why, brother and sister, we always have reason to hope and should always expect the unexpected from God. Let's pray together. Father, you are so amazing. Sometimes, God, it is just an absolute wonder that we ever could doubt you because of how awesome you really are. And yet, Father, we still find ourselves and questioning and worrying. And Father, we ask your forgiveness for that today. We pray, Father, that you would remind us of just how awesome you are, how great your love for us really is, and how you can do the unimaginable, the unexpected, beyond anything we could ask or think, because you are just that great and just that awesome. And Father, I pray that you would help us in a time when it looks like we've only got a little jar left, help us to remember that that little jar is not our supply. And though that jar be limited, you, God, are limitless. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is beyond the scope of possibility for you. If we will just be faithful and diligent and trust in you to take care of our needs. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness and for your love, for your faithfulness to provide for your children. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stay in an attitude of prayer just for a few more moments as we bring our service to a close this morning. Would you consider your ways today? Would you consider your situation today? Do you consider your circumstances today? And maybe God has blessed you. And maybe you're overflowing with the blessings of the Lord today. Praise God for that. We rejoice with you in that. We praise God together with you for that. As a general rule, most of us go through seasons, ups and downs, and sometimes we see the shortfall. And it's hard for us to get our minds and our thoughts off that little jar of oil, because there's just not enough in that little jar to meet our needs. Would you remember today that God is bigger than your little jar? God is bigger than your job. God is bigger than your checkbook. He's bigger than your income. And God can meet your needs in unexpected ways. And let me just encourage you to trust and believe in Him today. And know that God cares about you and He's not forgotten about you. God has a plan to meet those needs in your life. In fact, I'm just going to ask you to all stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning and bring our service to a close. And you make your own prayer to the Lord as I pray for you this morning, but I want to pray particularly for those of you that are in maybe a season of financial distress or uncertainty about where things are or where you're going or where you're going to get what you need to cover your needs and your obligations. And let me just remind you today, God is your source. Look to Him. Look to Him. Now look, Looking to God doesn't mean you don't do anything. See, that woman could have come to the prophet and said, I'm trusting the Lord. And then just gone home and sat on her couch. But she didn't do that. When the prophet said, go get every vessel in town, she went and got every vessel in town. My point is, brother and sister, we do our part and we do what God says while we're trusting the Lord. And watch how God will come through. And do something unexpected in your life to meet your needs. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord. Maybe someone in this room today who is looking at a shortfall, looking at a little bottle of oil, and it doesn't look like it's enough. But God, you're more than enough. You always have been and you always will be. And you are able because nothing is impossible for you. And so, Lord, we look to you today as our source and our supply, the God of all comfort, the God who is our provider. And we expect from your hand, Father, the provision to be made. And we give thanks to you in advance for taking care of your children. I pray that you speak a word, Father. Give a distinct word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a word of hope to those who need it today. And may they trust and believe in you today, Father. May they be obedient to what you say to do, even though it may cut crosswise with their natural way of thinking. Maybe what you say doesn't make any sense to them, Father. I pray that they would have faith to do it anyway. And I know, trust, and believe that you'll do mighty things in their life. And you'll make provision and make a way where it doesn't look like one exists. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of your children today. And Father, I pray that we would be reminded of your message to us today and your words to us today beyond this building and throughout the week. That through this word, Lord, you would capture our hearts. You would help us to look to you and maybe live our lives a little differently in the week that's ahead, with a greater expectation of seeing you move in our life in a special way for your glory. Thank you for doing it, God. Thank you for taking care of your children. Amen and amen. Let's sing together as we're dismissed this morning. And if we can pray with you about specific needs in your life, as always, we ask you to stay here at the front of the church and let us come pray with you about those things and trust God together with you for the Lord to do something unexpected in your life. Let's sing together. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. Expect something good from God in the week that's ahead.